This week's edition of the 90 Day Fiancé Recap here on Robinson Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you're having trouble meeting your goals or difficulty with relationships, like so many of the people on 90 Day Fiancé, trouble sleeping, feeling stressed or depressed, BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and help. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs, and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, and it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is secure online professional counseling. BetterHelp online counselors have a broad range of expertise, which may not be available in your area. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log in to your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so everything you share is confidential and you won't have to sit in an awkward waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Rob's Podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/RJP. Visit betterhelp.com/RJP to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and we are back to talk about the 11th week of a 90 Day Fiancé Season 8 here on Rob Has a Podcast. And we are excited because this was a very big episode of 90 Day Fiancé. And let's bring in a man who is not just Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, is also the birthday guy. Please welcome the great Pooya Zambakili. Pooya, how are you?
I'm doing lovely, Rob. I thought we were going to play Jenga together here today, but I will take talking about this new episode of 90 Day as a consolation. I'm very excited. We have an amazing guest, and I'm just ready. I'm fired up to talk about this episode. It's going to be a great time.
We have such a great get for you here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. We are so thrilled to have one of the stars of the hit Netflix series, Survivor Kagayan. Of course, that she is a renowned person in the field of science. Please welcome Dr. Jatia Hart. Jatia, how are you?
I am excited to be here and to listen to you struggle through that introduction.
Yeah, I should have written it out. I'm on your website, and of course, Jatia, how should I have introduced you?
You got it right. Dr. Jatia Hart, a nuclear engineer who works in national security at a $1 billion research and development facility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And is slumming it here with us to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. And we couldn't be more thrilled.
I am super excited to be here with you, Rob. It's been a long time since I've been on a podcast with you.
Yes, it's been a minute, but I heard you on the Drag Race for Hap Up. I hear you on with Bryce all the time. So I thought, let me take a shot in the dark that maybe Jatia might talk about 90 Day Fiancé with us.
Absolutely. So I have never watched an episode of 90 Day Fiancé until you called.
Yeah.
So I have some hot, fresh takes for
you
guys.
Fresh eyes on these people. And you know what? Honestly, you could jump right in, I think, with these shows. Like, I feel like that with any of these characters, I feel like that you get the story very quickly. Like, I feel like that. And if there's any questions, please let us know.
It's a hot fucking mess, and I'm here for it. So, I mean, what else do I need to know except it's a hot fucking mess and I'm here for it. And before we start, I just want to say happy birthday, Pooya. So I know you could be anywhere.
This is where I'm supposed to be. I couldn't be happier, Jatia. Trust me.
Yes.
I'm very happy right now.
And I'll tell you, Pooya, I saw a clip of you rapping, like you just burst into rap at some point in time. I don't know what was going on. There was some auto-tune.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Jacob was that. I was dissing Jacob Jones. Yes.
And I have been a fan ever since. I was like, anybody who can just drop hot fire, I'm in.
You make a Jacob Jones diss track?
Yeah, I invited him onto my stream one night unannounced, and then I dropped the track on him, and then I kicked him out of the call. It was a good time.
Power move.
I know. I felt very powerful that night. It was a good night.
Yeah. And anytime anybody disses thirsty ass Jacob Jones, I love you.
Yeah. And that was before we knew that he peed in pools.
Correct.
Yeah. What a wild revelation.
Pissy boy.
Okay. All right. Let's then talk about Brandon and Julia, because that they were not on the show last week, Jatia. And so we have been waiting to talk about them, and they had a tease from the beginning of the season that are Brandon and Julia going to have a pregnancy at some point this season? And so we got that storyline last night. First off, Jatia, you have not ever seen these people before. What was your impression of Brandon and Julia?
A hot fucking mess. I mean, like, that is... I love hot messes. I love a hot mess. I am a hot mess if you catch me on the right day, which is most days. Mm-hmm. And they just look like they are aimlessly wandering through life, trying to figure out what goes in what hole.
What is your favorite show?
Reality, yeah. It'd have to be right now Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
I used to like Atlanta, but it's gotten a little, I don't know, testy to me. Mm-hmm. And not as lighthearted, but I love the grand dame. I like that lighthearted shade that they throw on Real Housewives of Potomac.
This was an interesting episode here, because that I feel like that there was like a lot of themes throughout the episode of 90 Day Fiance, and a lot of like juxtaposition here with we have Brandon and Julia with this pregnancy announcement. And it was like complete polar opposites, because you had Brandon and Julia. Brandon is like, he can't wait to tell. He has to tell his mom and dad about it. Then you had the Jovi and Yara, where Yara actually is pregnant. Jovi doesn't want to tell his mom and dad about it. And, you know, a lot of like different reactions from different people. But so Brandon and Julia are on their way in the car, and Julia is not feeling well. And they're thinking maybe she is pregnant, because Jatia, that we've learned a lot about Brandon's views on birth control this season. And we had that reset for us again last night.
The only form of birth control Julie and I right now are using, I think the medical term is the pull-out method. It's worked this far. Maybe I'm just really good at it. I don't know.
So that just makes me cringe to the nth degree. That is one thing that the frank discussion of sex on this show just made me cringe. And I like a good, you know, nasty story. So, but I ain't want to hear this. Like, I do not want to think about him having sex or how weak his pullout game is. Ew.
I could not believe, Puya, that they weren't pregnant at the end of this. That I was more surprised than anybody.
Same. No, I mean, they set it up real well to make it seem that way with the, you know, Julia feeling motion sick in the car, which, by the way, Brandon, when someone says they're feeling sick, you pull over. You don't ask twice. So I don't know why he had to confirm that. If he wanted new interior design, he should have just kept driving. But no, I genuinely thought the same thing was going on. I was baffled when he was like, we need to talk to my parents. I was like, okay, at least get a confirmation up in here before you do this.
Parents. Oh my God.
Yeah. And his parents are super controlling to begin with. And, you know, she's like, wait, why do we tell parent? Why do we need to tell them? And he's like, well, I just think it would be a good idea, because if my mom guesses, then it's going to be bad. And it's like, why? But like, and even the dad later on was like, yeah, why wouldn't you go get a pregnant, take a test before you told us this?
I mean, like, at the dollar store, they are literally a dollar for the test and a dollar for a bottle of water. Like, this was like, I feel like they were playing it up for the camera. They had to be. This is so stupid.
Hmm. Like, to give you quick context, Jatia, the last time this came up, the whole pullout thing came up, Brandon told his mom this, and then his mom, on the way to the airport to pick Julia up, got on the phone with her OBGYN to try and set Julia up with a meeting to talk about birth control. So this is how involved his mom is with Brandon's life. This is why he feels compelled to talk to her about all these things.
Ew. Mm-hmm. This whole time I'm just sitting here with like a screwed up face because this is disgusting. Clearly Julia has the most brains out of all of them, even though she's cobbling together sentences. Mm-hmm.
They're going to eventually, all right, we have to tell the parents. And so they go outside and mom and dad they must have been hammered, right?
They seemed way too chill. This is the most chill we've seen them.
Dad's face was so red. He was like falling off the chair and they're playing Jenga. He's cracking up. Like Jenga is not that fun.
No.
It is not.
No, it's not.
It's not. But I think the producers of the show were having fun with us because this is what they said. I have to think that this was intentional. This is dad talking about the Jenga game.
Push out a block.
Whichever one you touch, you got to pull it out.
When you play Jenga, you got to pull it out. That's how this works, Brandon. Pay attention.
Ew. It's just ew. Like all the entendre, like you're playing freaking Jenga. Like these lyrics should be and stay in a Cardi B song. And not in 90 Day Fiance with people who can barely. Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, are you a Jenga guy?
I was. And then I turned the old age of 7 and I moved on. I definitely need not play Jenga no more. Jenga was fun until you had to put it back up again. I was like, why am I like preparing my own game? I don't like this. Like, I'd rather not. At least with card games, you shuffle the deck, you can learn fancy tricks. I can't put the like Jenga board back up fancy again. It's irritating. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. No. And I think in college, you know, there's the new Jenga with like each block has like a dare or something on it. And I'm not a dare guy. I don't like doing the unknown. I'd rather not know what dumb things you're going to want me to do. So I'm okay with not doing it. So I'm definitely anti-Jenga, apparently.
Jatia looks like she really hates Jenga.
I have never had fun playing Jenga. I don't get like, ew. Like you could be playing pickup sticks, like with the marbles, you know, at least there's like some act. I don't know. Jenga is dumb. And jumbo Jenga is even worse.
Pickup sticks or kerplunk? You ever play that one?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a similar idea as Jenga. Eventually they get to, all right, hey, just so you know, mom and dad, Julia is feeling a little sick. And mom and dad are like, no, it can't. You can't be. You're joking. I'm not joking.
No. Can I just say, after everything we've learned about this couple, why do you not care about your life enough to be trying to pull a fast one on pranking Betty and Ron? Like, you are literally asking for the world to crumble under you, Brandon. I don't understand this.
Such a prankster. Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, and he goes on and on talking about like he ain't got no money for no children. Then you need to have some money for some birth control or something, or a vasectomy, a V job. I don't know. Like, yeah. How much do they get paid? Do you know? I mean, like, is it like he has to, they feel like they have to bring the drama for the paycheck? Like,
So approximately they get about the American of the couple gets paid. They get about $1,000 per episode and then a $2,500 for the reunion show or the tell all if they show up to that, when they were recorded in person. So ultimately you're looking at maybe 15K, 15, 20K. Max.
That's not a drop in the bucket. Let's be honest.
And no, I mean, it's not that bad. Not that bad.
Yeah. That and I clearly the fiance can't get paid because they don't have a work visa, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They get publicity basically.
Yeah.
And so, not the best payoff because the publicity on this show, I feel like more often than not, is not a positive one. So
dad starts dragging Brandon about like, why didn't you just go get a test? What is wrong with you? What is it? Like, what is the matter with you? Why would you tell us this? Why, if it was me, I would have gotten the test already. And he's like, talk to me after you take the test. And I couldn't believe this. Jatia, then he's like blaming Julia that this happened. He's like, well, some people. And she's like, why are you looking at me like this? Like I did this.
She was looking like a deer in the headlights, and she should have. I mean, she took, look, this is the thing. Look, she know what she getting into. She know he ain't that bright. She knows, you know, she ain't that bright. He's crazy. She's crazy. The parents are trying to get this train back on the track. And I was just very happy to ultimately hear that she was not pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a relief. But yeah, this was not great from Brandon. Again, that like he seems to feel like that the only way that you could prevent a baby from happening is if Julia was taking birth control pills, which she did not want to do. He's like, hey, she doesn't want to take the pills. What do you want from me?
Because it's her responsibility. She's the lady. Mm-hmm. Like, it's her responsibility.
There's a whole bowl next to his bed with condoms that his mom has put in there. We've seen that footage. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, guy, maybe you just bite the bullet and slap one on. Like, I don't understand it. If you're trying to, like, already, like, your mom did this compromise for you and let you stay in the same room. The least you can do is bag it up. And I feel like that's not a lot to ask. But Brandon clearly, you know, has been very vocal that it changes the motion, changes the feel. I'm here to say that Brandon been stupid, is stupid, will forever be stupid. And we're just here to watch it happen.
If I was an executive at a condom company, I think that I would be advertising on 90 Day Fiancé and say that many of the problems you see on this show are the result of not having proper usage of our product. That you can avoid so many problems just with our brand.
If I was working on Trojan, I would be like, please let us sponsor your show. Like have us be showing up on the screen because I do think that it would save. It would do a lot of business. It would be a good time for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Look, he should be happy to be having sex at all because it doesn't really seem like he was having that much sex before.
No,
so if she wants him to put on a damn goat head, he should just go with it. And she's super cute. And he definitely not get a girl who looked that cute and would put up with him in the U.S.
So, all right. He comes back later with the pregnancy test. And Puya, I guess for that they have no money, but he does have a nice car.
I mean, listen, it's not, I would argue that that ain't his car. I would argue that this was a gift from the parents. That's where he got that, got that car from, because I feel like you can't boldface say we can't afford to move out and then drive the car that you're driving. If you sell that car, you have money to move out. So I feel like something's got to give here, but it's got to be like a graduation present from Betty and Ron or something. It has to be. It has to.
Yeah. Okay.
What does he do for a living?
He's an exterminator.
Yeah.
And they have a farm and they have animals and they make Julia go feed all the animals all day.
Pretty much.
Wait, but does he work for Orkin? Because I mean, like,
I don't know who he works for.
Okay. I mean, because Orkin people make good money, but you know, I didn't know that.
They don't get into a lot of like his exterminating business. Like they did it like in the first episode, he says he's an exterminator and you see him go to work and then he comes back, but you don't see a lot of like what's going on. Maybe too many people like don't want the 90 Day Fiancé crews in their like buggy houses of like roaches everywhere. Yeah. Please. Could you not film in here? I'm not signing the release.
Bad press.
So film. Yeah. My bug infested house. All right. They come back and that they bring the test. Jatia. Now, I am not super proficient in the way that the tests are used. I've never seen anybody ever have like a solo cup and then dip the test into a solo cup.
So I am well versed on taking pregnancy tests and also the science behind them.
Yes.
So you can do it that way.
Yes.
Right. Some people just hold it in the stream. Mm-hmm. And I guess, yes, I am the expert on this panel about pregnancy tests.
Yes.
Unless
I would have been fine with just science.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, yes, you can collect it in a cup or you can put it in the stream, but essentially it detects how much HCG hormone you have, which is a hormone that rises rapidly in the beginning of pregnancy. So it increases more than 100-fold. So if it's two lines, you're pregnant, because they have a control line to make sure that it's working. So yeah, but the solo cup, that's just hood. Like, what if you mess it up and think it's a beer? Like, you're playing like piss pong and you accidentally, you know, pick up a solo cup full of piss and then you're like, wait, that was for the test. You're welcome.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to mix that up. You were playing flip cup with that cup would have been a nightmare.
Would you rather play piss pong or Jenga?
Piss pong.
there's danger there. There's suspense. Like, I don't know which cup it was now. It's been mixed up. Like, we got to win because I'm not trying to drink
these. Is there
these.
One cup of pee and five cups of beer in piss pong?
Well, I mean, look, as you playing long enough, it's going to go in some piss and then you got the piss pong ball. So it's like we're all getting COVID, you know. You get COVID from pee, from drinking pee. I'll have to investigate.
Get back to us.
I'll report back.
Yes, please. Please let us know. All right. So they take the test and 3 minutes have to go by. And this was a dramatic moment in the show, Pooya.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's always going to be suspense when it comes to waiting for results in any capacity. 90 Day has a great way of pulling at the strings there, making it go on and on and on. And then you've got the blank stares of Brandon, which always help with suspense. And you could feel the tension. You could. Because I think everyone, including Brandon, knows Brandon need not be a parent right now. Brandon still needs to learn how to be an adult. So Brandon's got a long ways to go. Like, if Brandon's at the wheel of a whole family, I'm worried for that family. I will be concerned. So I was happy for the wait. I'm happy that that wait ended up being with a good result and not a bad one.
Yeah.
I also just want to think, like, what made her think like, oh yeah, this is the man for me. Like, I just do not see it. So Yeah.
So they ended up, just their backstory was that she, I think, did they have a friend also, Pooya, that he has a friend who also married a woman in Russia and she was a dancer and then she met him on FaceTime and then they were talking over FaceTime for a while?
Yeah. So the first time he saw Julia was through FaceTime and she was dancing. And then about 30 minutes later, Brandon is swapping messages with her and I think his opener was, "You look like my future wife." That was the first words he decided to lay on Julia. And then that's how they met. And then they obviously traveled to each other and met that way. And I think, was it the second visit he proposed? Something like that. It wasn't much after that he did it.
So. Now, when you say she was dancing, she was like tap dancing,
go-go ballet. Dancing.
Go-go dancing.
Say what now?
She's a go. She was like dancing like in... dance clubs.
Yeah.
Online.
Well, no, she was in real life. In real life.
Yeah, the friend was at the club and the friend was FaceTiming, like pointing the camera at the performance.
Okay. All right. Just thank you for that backstory. I want to ask more questions, but I don't think it will clear it up at all. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so how about this? I thought this was great, Pooya, that, you know, we talk about Brandon's such a prankster and Julia got one over on Brandon. She says, hey, what? So what does two lines mean? Bazinga. You got Brandon.
It was very nice to see Brandon sweat it out a little bit because I feel like he's too laid back. I feel like people are allowed to be laid back. I'm certain I can be laid back, but you can't be laid back when you're just dumb because like that is dangerous laid back. You can't be having that. So it was nice to see him actually worry and see the little cog in his head move of like, what am I going to do next? How is mom going to take this? I'm going to get grounded again. Like you could tell that was the move and I might not get cookies later. Like I was happy to see him worry a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Jatia, the whole thing all season long with them has been that the parents said they're not allowed to sleep in the same room, that they have separate rooms at the farm. And then, of course, because Brandon went and blabbed about this, and now that they're, it's supposedly, you know, not allegedly they can sleep in the same room, that mom and dad, I got to say, like, look, didn't you learn your lesson here with this pregnancy scare? You could get out of the same room.
So has he officially proposed? When is their wedding?
They're engaged, right?
Yeah, they're engaged to be married. Well, that's what they have to say 1,000% to get her into the country. So they are engaged. They haven't, from what we've seen in the episode so far, there's been no like concrete plans for a wedding ceremony or anything yet.
It's supposed to be May 9th.
So his parents basically bought him a girlfriend. I feel like this is kind of what it's shaping out to be. Like, of course, they said that, you know, they're a fiance. But I didn't see any wedding planning. I saw, you know, pull out game discussions. And this is just crazy. Like, they basically have bought him a girlfriend. They are totally co-signing this bad behavior. And so I kind of think it's the parents. Like, you're enabling this.
So, well, they only want him to live at the house. They're mad that they're going to move out.
Yeah. So their whole thing is when Julia came over, Brandon has had money trouble. So the parents, like, you know, fronted some of the tickets for her to fly over. And that was the condition was you live in separate rooms at the farm. She helps with the animals and you can't be doing any hanky panky in this house. I'm assuming that's how they phrase it because they seem like they would. And that was kind of the laws they laid down. And then when word came up a couple episodes ago that they wanted to move out, his mom dropped the rule of no, like you can share the bedrooms now. So when this news comes up, that's obviously a big no-no. But no, the parents want to control everything. Brandon doesn't know how to say no to them, blames it on Julia, who's very mad at everything because she wants them to be independent. So like that's kind of the power struggles there.
So what they should have controlled is their wallet and not lending him the damn money. So she could come over. That's just crazy. That is crazy. That was the first mistake. That's crazy. You know, he's a man child. You know, he a man child who stomp on bugs for a living. OK, no. Orkin is a great company, but
we don't know what company he works for. Yeah,
he's an exterminator. He works for Orkin. So and I'm sticking to that. So I just think like parents and as a parent now, like you can't enable that. Like he's not a viable adult. Why would you let him bring his girlfriend over here? Why would you put these silly rules that you know he's going to break? He was a teenager at once. Come on now. Yeah. You know, you can't control what do they call it? Pant snake. You can't control the pant snake.
So eventually they're going to go and tell the parents. And he's just like, why you have to tell everything to parents? And then they go and have to go tell mom and dad. At least they're relieved. But they didn't have to tell the parents anything.
Anything. Agreed.
Yeah. This could have been avoided if they could have
left Ron and Betty out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And but then how would they make their $1,500 this episode, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think the producers are like Puya, like, oh, you better tell your parents about this?
No, I can't even blame the producer. I think Brandon's that dumb because like I feel like if Brandon is his mode of operation, we've learned is being evasive. He will just if he can avoid problems, that's what he does. So to me, it was weird for him to end up deciding to tell them. But I think that was his way of avoiding any future problems. Should Betty then put two and two together and now he's not disclosed stuff, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
He looks like an undercover person who creates drama. Not gonna lie. So, you know, like nobody has ever been interested in me before. And now it's my time to shine. So.
All right. Well, the good news for Brandon and Julia, they will not be having a kid on this season of 90 Day Fiancé. We think. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised if next week then we find out Julia then does get pregnant after like, OK, I guess it's working. Guess so far
things have happened.
Yeah. Okay. Puya, should we go next? Do you think?
So I think we start big with the big one. Let's go with one that was relatively more quiet and quick. I would like to talk about Tariq and Hazel if we can.
All right. So Tariq and Hazel did not get a lot of airtime in this episode. They've really been in a slump for a while. It seems like the only thing going on in Tariq and Hazel world is that. So Hazel came over from the Philippines. She really wants to get a girlfriend with Tariq, and her and Tariq for weeks have been going online looking for different women to potentially be the third wheel with Tariq and Hazel. And we got a Zoom call, the only one scene with them, where Tariq, they call up Tariq's friend for some reason to tell her about what they're up to. Again, I don't know why they had to call Tariq's friend and have a Zoom call. I guess we just like are at a shortage of like skeptical friends because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I feel it's interesting because I feel like out of all the couples, the one couple that seems to be most impacted is Tariq and Hazel, mm-hmm. or like their lives are a little bit more closer to what I think our lives are now with all the calls and everything. This is obviously skeptical friend Angela, who we met at the beginning of the season.
Okay. This was the woman he had like a lunch with outside earlier in the season. Yeah.
Yeah. That he told about, you know, we had
a
girlfriend.
Was this his former tenant?
Yes. This is her. The very same. Yeah. So this was very weird because I feel like this was supposed to just be like an organic, let's catch up with one of our friends. And then it felt like Hazel just threw a bomb in there and Tariq was like, why'd you bring this up? But now we have to tell her.
Yeah. So, Jatia, I have to imagine that you must have felt like the woman on the other end of the Zoom call as you were learning about what's going on with Tariq and Hazel.
Let me tell you, I lived for that damn Zoom call. That Angela's face, I was half asleep when I got to this part. And I was like, I love her. I want to be friends. What's her Facebook? Mm-hmm. What's her Twitter handle? I wanted to follow her because, oh man, my black girls, they don't play. She told them, like, gave them the dead face. Y'all are stupid. What you mean? Please clarify. Like, I just loved how she was mm-hmm. so direct with the questions. And Hazel was just like, yeah, no. Not a girlfriend to hang out with. A girlfriend.
Yeah, I have a clip. This is where Angela keeps asking, like, oh, you mean like someone you could talk to? No.
Like a girlfriend to join you and him?
Yes.
Are you crazy?
Also, Hazel was bombed.
Yes, she was. Because Hazel did not get any sarcasm. Mm-hmm. She didn't hear the lilting tones, the raise in the voice. She didn't catch the rock eyebrow that Angela threw at her. None of that. Hazel was like, yes, a girlfriend to eat my box. Yeah, like she was like just being very direct. And I was like, wow. So clearly, yeah. And Tariq was just, you know, looking agog, for lack of a better word. But you the silly man who brought her over here and is entertaining this foolishness.
So, see, this wasn't my idea. I didn't. This wasn't me. This wasn't my idea.
And Hazel want her a girlfriend because it doesn't seem like she really wants Tariq.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, like the way it's been going on with them is that they have experimented with a third in the relationship in the past, with a woman named Minty, who came from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And the reason that relationship did not last is because, as it can be with a triangle, Minty and Tariq were vibing a little bit more than Minty and Hazel were. So that was a no-no. So now Hazel has moved from the Philippines. And in the Philippines, she couldn't really express her bisexuality because her family's like sternly against it. And her sister came out as bisexual. And she saw how that relationship went. So she kept it under wraps. Now she's in the States. She's trying to vibe. She's trying to find herself, which is good. But I think that I echo the same thing. Angela echoes the same thing. Anyone else is watching them echoes is, how about y'all get married first? How about you figure that part out and then go on this path of discovery with the tricycle? How about you do the tricycle later, learn to ride the bicycle first, and then live life like passionately later on? I feel like you can do that. You have the time.
Hazel trying to swing to a different branch. That's all I got to say.
And it seems like that there is a theme where it just seems like the Tariq is like, all right, let's get the wine going. And it does not seem like that Hazel can hold her alcohol like Tariq can. And then it's always like, oh, let's get on the iPad. Let's see what's going on these dating apps. And then it's always wine and the dating apps of let's see if we can find the third wheel.
They'd be a riot in a clubhouse room, I feel like. I feel like they would thrive there. It'd be good.
Yeah.
I don't quite see the connection mm-hmm. in this relationship. I understand why Hazel is in it. to swing to a new branch. Now I want to go back and watch Minty. If Minty was on the show. Well,
good news. Spoiler alert. Minty is coming back next week. Puya, what is wrong with Tariq? Why on earth is he like that? He must be so bored in lockdown that he's saying to her, hey, why don't we get Minty on Zoom? She hates Minty. Don't call her.
This is the fascinating thing. You can very much tell that there's not a lot that bothers Hazel. They're living in this like mess pile of a home where there's laundry corners and like clutter centers, and it's a hot mess. But so she obviously, the barriers of like annoyance and irritation are low. The only thing she doesn't like is, hey, I don't want you to be talking to Minty. What has he done in this pandemic? He's messaged Minty to make sure Minty's okay. And now it's like, how about we get some advice from our failed third in Minty?
You know what? Why don't we call up Minty and do an exit interview and see what didn't work out with our thruple last time. And then we can get like some, you know, actionable information for the next one.
Yeah,
that's next week.
Get David Bloomberg on the phone. Why relationship lost? What happened there? Where did we go wrong, sir?
Get that t-shirt with all the rules.
Be a good wedding gift. I'd be okay with sending him that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tariq and Hazel. Looks like at least something's going on next week. Okay. Puya, what next?
I mean, listen, I'm looking at all this. There's one other big ticket couple that from this episode, and then like a tertiary. But I kind of don't want to talk about the tertiary yet. Let's go to Louisiana. Let's talk to Jovi and Yara.
Okay, Jovi and Yara. I really felt like that there were like major developments, I feel like, in all the stories pretty much this week. All right. Yara and Jovi. Jatia, did you have any sort of a feel for Yara and Jovi?
None. So I'm like, honestly, I'm like, which one were they?
Yes. Jovi and Yara, they had the engagement party. Jovi, he is a like a big drinker, big party guy. He brought Yara over from Ukraine. Yara has also gotten pregnant. And this has been like, we've been following this one day for two episodes now where he brought her to his parents' house. Then he went out drinking all day with his friends, then came back. She wasn't feeling well. He brought her a bunch of crawfish to eat for dinner. She didn't want that. They went to the engagement party, which was only supposed to be a couple of people. Surprise, it's 60 people. And he proceeds to get bombed even more throughout the whole night and has no interest in Yara.
This is the crawdad table. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. First of all, crawdads are nasty. Mm-hmm. There's way too much work to eat.
A lot of work.
I just want to put that out there. Get you some crabs. Stop playing or some lobster and stop messing with them nasty little lake boogers. I feel bad for her. I mean, I feel bad that she is stuck in another country and has this. I'm trying to find a not nasty word for the guy, but an asswipe for a baby daddy.
I mean, she calls him a bitch several times in this episode.
She was correct. Accurate.
My favorite part of this entire episode was the editing they did between Gwen, the mom, being like, they're so in love, and Yara just like verbally beating down Jovi while they were dancing. It was so good.
Well, she wanted to tell the parents that they were pregnant. And the dad, we met Jovi's dad for the first time last week, and Jovi's dad was like very skeptical about the whole thing. And, Jovi's mom, that she has definitely had a mixed performance over the course of the season. But in fairness to Gwen in this episode, at least Gwen was like super excited to get the reveal about that they're having a baby. She was pumped up. The Monty, the dad, he was a little bit like, well, I hope everything works out. Yeah. But Gwen was beaming.
Loved Gwen. Gwen has 180 from last time that I saw her. I feel very good about this. Like, I gave her crap for the whole, like, you know, planning this 50-person surprise when she clearly didn't want that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that worked. It ended up working out because Jovi is such a douche that Yara was feeling some kind of love from some corner.
Yara's like, at least somebody's making a fuss over me. Yeah, my family isn't here, but at least somebody like put together this party for me. This is nice. And Jovi is just like, let me get another drink.
Yeah, get used to it, honey.
Yeah. They do a slow dance. She's like, Jovi, please don't grab my butt in front of everybody.
Like, has he never done a formal slow dance? Like, I don't understand.
His friend
that is his formal slow dance. Yeah. What do you mean? You like always grab the ass.
Yes. That what they call it? Jovi mode last week?
Yeah. His mode of operation is this. You are right.
Yeah. And he hangs out at strip clubs all the time. And then this is what he's like when he goes out every night. But this got very dramatic when they took them outside on the street for an interview. And they ask, like, how's the party going? And she really just started laying into him about, like, you know, is this even your friend said to me, is this a party for you or is this a party just for Jovi's drinking? And he said that he's sick of hearing all this stuff. Welcome to pregnancy, really? He said.
I was about to say, look, if you sick of hearing about it, we sick of looking at it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just want to throw up in my mouth, and I cannot even imagine like carrying his baby and having to think, oh, this is what the genes that I am inheriting and what I'm going to raise.
Yeah, I feel like if there was ever someone who mishandles pregnancies the worst, Jovi is that guy, 1,000%. This is the second pregnancy that he's, him and Yara have gone through together. And now I'm seeing it live and I'm hating every bit of the interaction. It is awful to just completely. And here's the thing. I fully recognize the dude's hammered. When he looked into the camera, there was no soul behind those eyes. It was just mist. It was gone. Mm-hmm. He was gone. However, you know, he's giving his truth and his feelings, and they are horrible, horrible things to say. To just blame everything on praise, like, dude does not realize that he is the problem. And it's going to be a rude awakening when his own friends threw him under the bus. That's when you know it's real.
Yeah. And the same guys that were at the crawfish party.
Oh, yeah. They're playing both sides. If they were playing some kind of social deduction game, they'd be making it far because they're playing the middle completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they went to the party with him. They were like, oh, Jovi's going to be divorced in 3 months. Like, they were totally like, Jovi, no way Jovi is settling. And then they meet his fiance and like, oh, yeah, Jovi's a bad guy. How could he be doing this to you? It's too much. Then this was, I thought, the highlight of all of this because that she's saying like, Jovi, I am pregnant and this is how you treat me. Like, do you think that this is a good way to treat me, that I'm here? I came to America for you and I'm having your baby. Is this how you should treat me?
I mean, is there somebody like that?
You probably don't deserve somebody so good, but okay.
Of course I deserve somebody better because I'm smart, beautiful and all the stuff.
Yes. I'm effing smart, beautiful, and all of the stuff. Take that,
Jovi. That's right,
Jovi.
Yara.
Yeah.
Know your worth, boo.
Yes.
Know your worth.
Let's open up an Etsy shop. Get that out there.
Effing
smart and beautiful and all of this stuff. And he walked off. He walked out of his own engagement party.
No, he walked back into the engagement party to get more Bev. He's definitely still there. If there's an open bar, there's a happy Jovi. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, I think that it might be a good move for Yara to suss out his friends and go for one that's, you know, that's easy for the picking. I mean, she already here. Like, it can't get worse. It can't get worse, okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's any, like, elite draft picks in the whole crew of Jovi's friends.
They got to be one better than him, though. Come on now.
Yeah, Jovi is the one friend that they're all like, boy, we never thought that you would get married out of any of us. You're the guy. You're the party guy. Okay.
Now, talking about grabbing a new branch, I advocate for her grabbing a new branch.
Okay. All right, no Andrew and Amira this week. You dodged a bullet with that one, Jatia. That's like a sad sack story. We'll be right back to talk about what's going on with Rebecca and Zied with Puya and Jatia. But first, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. And, you know, it never is a good idea to put labels on things in today's world. That is, unless, of course, you have the P-Touch by Brother. The P-Touch Pro Label Maker enables you to organize like a pro, creating durable labels that help identify your electrical and telecom wires and cables, workspace, gear, and more. The P-Touch Pro features convenient one-touch keys that make labeling fast and easy. Use over 300 symbols to help declutter your electrical wiring, workshop, toolbox, garage, storage, and more. P-Touch Pro tackles hobbies, too. Organize your camping, hunting, fishing, and sporting gear, and it's easy to use wherever your projects take you, featuring a detachable wrist strap and portable design. Choose from an assortment of exceptionally durable Brother P-Touch label types for all your labeling needs. Tackle your toughest labeling jobs with the P-Touch Pro Label Maker, only from Brother. For details, visit ptouchprobybrother.com. And also, thanks to our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And now let's get back to Rebecca and Zied with Puya and Jatia. Okay, so Rebecca is, she is in her 50s. She has Zied, who is 27 years old, that he has come over from Tunisia, and that they had a whole thing last episode over. There was a young woman, Hannah, that was offering to help him move, and then this turned into a whole big thing, and Jatia, I was very surprised that this was turning into a fight, because I think she even said, like, oh, Zied didn't even realize this woman was allegedly flirting with him.
What? I don't get the problem. The young lady just wants to help him move when she is not around specifically. I feel like that is just, you know, being nice and lending a hand to your man when you're not there. I mean...
So are you siding with Rebecca?
No. To be honest, I mean, like, yeah, the girl was flirting, but like, don't hate the player, hate the game. You should have jumped in her ass, not his. Like, it's not like he was like, yes, please come help me. You should have been like, no, he don't need your help. Mm-hmm. And you should have checked her right then and there.
Yeah.
That's a bitch move to not check the girl right then and there.
What do you think? Did Zied not know that she was being flirtatious? I mean, yeah, there's a language barrier, but, you know, he's not dead.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I don't think he caught on. I don't think he caught on at all, because, like, obviously with flirtation comes, there's a bunch of things, right? Cadence, body language, tone, purpose. And I don't think he's got that down with specifically with the English language. So had this all been in Arabic, I think he might have picked up on it. But I do think in this instance, they're chilling. She's asking a bunch of questions about him, which is a good, change of fresh air for him, because literally anytime he's there, people are asking about, is he working? What's his next move? What's his next step? It was nice to kind of get, like, be asked questions that made you feel more normal. So I think he was just happy someone, like, cared enough to ask stuff like that. I don't think he really caught on to anything else.
Okay.
Well, you was a communications major. Look at you dropping them terms. Tone. Cadence.
I was. Yeah.
It came
in handy. Yeah.
So it's good. I think, like, honestly, I think Zied did not catch on. And Zied looked like he got a little game. So I feel like if he wanted to flirt, you know, he would flirt with her, or at least be like, meet me by the bathroom, or, you know, something like that to, you know, take it there. So I think Rebecca is insecure and jealous.
Sure.
And that's it. And I can understand that. That woman is not any cuter than Rebecca, but she's younger. So, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Rebecca need to put on her big girl panties and check that bitch.
So Rebecca is bringing Zied to meet Brandon, one of her kids, and that we're going to go out to Brandon's house. But yeah, I feel like that Brandon did not really get dressed up at all for the TLC camera crew.
No. Brandon definitely did not care. He was like, this is just another day at our house. Does not matter. I feel like Brandon has been not even advertised once. I forgot that this was even a thing that was going to happen. No, Brandon was definitely rocking his best regular blue shirt and
blue pants, blue shorts.
Yeah, it's just blue shorts, just rocking the full Smurf look. Definitely coming in with the Smurf regulars. Yeah, I mean, he didn't seem to, you know, he didn't care. He didn't want to put on appearance for Zed's entry.
Now, aren't they like almost the same age?
Yes. Yes.
About 2 years? Yeah.
Pretty much.
2 years apart?
Yeah. Grandpa Zed was cracking me up. How do you like being Grandpa Zed? And of course, Zed is always like, this is fine. This is fine. Yeah, nothing like bothers him. Zed.
He's a cool character. He got dropped into this big steaming vat of shit. And, you know, he's just trying to make his way. Not trying to make no waves. I like him. I think he's a very nice guy. And I feel like she's giving him grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, because Zed can do nothing right. A woman talks to him. Oh, Zed, I'm mad at you. And then he goes and he plays with the kids. He's like, oh, Zed, he's too good with kids. He's gonna want kids. And we got to go over this again. Zed, are you sure? You know, we're not going to have kids.
It's been fascinating watching Rebecca, because the more and more I'm learning about Rebecca, the more and more I think she's low-key kind of like pushing a little bit of stereotypes onto Zed. Her, so she's like, listen, you come from a Muslim culture, so you shouldn't want to talk to the women. And I don't think, like, there's no way, no world where I think Zed's going to be unfaithful to her. I don't. But I think back to the whole Mika thing, when she didn't want to move in with her daughter and her like fiance, because like, you know, all that. I think that was all from her now. I think that she's just in her head. She needs him to like lock her down and follow that line and have eyes for nobody else. And I think it all comes from a place of insecurity. And I think that her age is the biggest factor here, because ultimately she sees how good he is with kids. And like you said, I think she thinks he's going to want kids and she's not going to deliver that. And I don't think, by the sounds of it, I don't think she wants a kid, period. Like, I don't think adoption's on the table, surrogacy's on the... I don't think she wants a kid in the house at all. So it's like, biologically she can, but it doesn't sound like she wants it otherwise as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's self-sabotaging, as the psychologist would say. Every issue that comes up, like, she's freaking manifesting it all by herself. Like, the flirting, the kids, everything. And Zed is like, bitch, let me live. Like, he's such a little sweetie and so chill. And she's just like creating drama. Oh my gosh. Okay, now I just thought about it. This is me and my husband. him just being like chill and nice and me just creating drama. All right. So Rebecca isn't as bad as I originally.
You can see things from Rebecca's side now. Yeah. So hopefully things will be a little bit better for Rebecca and Zed. Nothing rattles Zed.
Most laid back person on the entire show. He does not mind anything. No, Zed's someone who, this is the second season we're seeing him. I think the more and more we've seen him, the more and more I've been enjoying his presence, because I think he ultimately doesn't cause waves in the middle of a tycoon that is 90 Day Fiancé. Did I say tycoon? I meant typhoon. Sorry, let me be clear.
There's very few tycoons on 90 Day Fiancé.
I think Zed is like, this bitch got first world problems. And I'm like out here just trying to live my life and be safe. So,
yeah. Although, Puya, it looks like next week that Zed tells her that if they don't get married, that before Ramadan, he needs to go home.
So, yeah, I would need the full context for that. You know, as someone who comes up from a Muslim background, but has definitely not been, you know, observing for a while. But I don't think there's any link with Ramadan and like marriage. There might be. I know that there's physical components that get completely taken out the equation during the month. But I'm not sure exactly what he's going to be referring to. So with context, we can tackle that for sure next week and talk all about it. But it is funny that it seems like there's going to be more waves in the Rebecca and Zed pool than I would have once expected.
Okay.
So wait, he has to go home before what? Puya.
So his thing is, he alludes to, if they don't marry before Ramadan begins, which is the
before
one
what?
Month of the year, Ramadan.
No, say it the way you said it before.
Ramadan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the month where, you know, you're supposed to observe, you know, you're fasting in the holy month from sunrise to sunset. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it, except for eating and drinking. Obviously, you're trying to like,
I know what
observe,
it is. I just want right. you to say it again. Can you say it again?
I caught on. Took me a second. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens next week.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Mike and Natalie next. And then we'll close with the Stephanie saga. Jatia, what did you make of this lovely couple, Mike and Natalie, this happy couple?
I just wanted to scream, go home, girl. Go home. Go home. Go home. Go home. Like, he clearly does not want to marry you. It's very interesting because
he said they're not even engaged anymore.
I know. So I actually went back and watched the episode, just their part of the episode before, because I was like, this. So. They were done last episode, and they were done this episode. I'm like, go home, pack your stuff. Like, I'm just waiting for the pack your suitcase montage. Do they have that here? Is it like the Apprentice?
Oh, I think it's coming. Yeah, I think it's coming for Mike and Natalie, because, you know, last week we saw they went to therapy, and then finally, like, Mike was pushing off going to counseling, and she's like, we gotta go talk about our problems. And then finally, he basically like came out and said, like, hey, we're not in love. And then this week we got, then it started out like all talking about the issue with Mike's friend, Sarah. And Mike has a best female friend who he was like the best, like the dude of honor in her wedding. And I guess he had a sleepover, and she talked about this on 90 Day Bears All. Yeah. He was like roommates with this woman, and he was like the dude of honor at her wedding. And when like the guy she was marrying went out on his bachelor party, he stayed over at Sarah's house. And Natalie feels like that they must have slept together that night. Puya, no way he slept with the bride the night before her wedding, right?
This is two things, right? This isn't a porno, so it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that it's Mike. I don't think
he's
Mike's
not exactly
got that kind
Mr.
of swagger.
Steal Your Girl?
No, and Mr. Steal Your Girl the night of the wedding? No, hell no. Definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely not.
I have different opinions.
Yes, you think? Ooh, yes. Okay. What do you think, Jatia?
Yes. So I thought it was totally shady, and I was on her side. I was like, that's crazy. Like, maybe he did not sleep with her. But I don't think it's because he didn't want to. I think it's because she wouldn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think he would like lick her dirty toes, you know, and do the other kind of stuff. Like, just do that. Like, he'd do it if he could, but he can't. So we ain't, you know?
Yes. So you think that maybe that this is like that Mike was infatuated with this woman, and she's the one that got away, and he's like in the friend zone.
Yes. And he's happy to just be, you know, get a whiff of her farts every now and then, mm-hmm. whatever he can take, you know. So, that's not normal when you have a fiance and somebody else is getting married for you as the as a male friend to sleep over. No, that's weird.
I will say my wife would not care for this.
Nicole would chop your nuts off. Yeah. Okay.
She wouldn't love it. She wouldn't love it. No, she wouldn't be happy about it.
Your nuts would be in the jar like you were a miniature pincher who, you know, just turned one. Okay.
Yeah, that's most days. So but Natalie, we barely heard about this all season. And this is like the number one issue for Natalie.
It's funny because I do think that when they finally decided to go to counseling, and this was because Natalie wanted it to happen, I think it opened all the wounds that they were just ignoring. And now they finally have to address it. They've been putting it off for so long. And I think it's very clear that, because we've been able to tell from the beginning, Natalie wants two things. she is still hurt from the whole potential thing that has happened with Sarah, and she wants the damn ring back. These are the two things she needs to get closure to move on. And the other side of the coin, Mike has not forgiven her for giving the ring back and, like, you know, basically saying, I don't trust you. He feels hurt from that. Yeah. And he's not wanted to move either. So they're just at this standstill. And for this to come up now, and Mike is so not receptive, because Mike's like, well, you didn't say anything for 45 days. Why is this still the issue? Like, he's completely not treating it like it's a serious thing. So it's just literally, this is probably the earliest we've called something on 90 Day, where I think it was episode 2 or 3, we're like, they're not going to be together. And sure enough, episode 11, I can still say they're not going to be together. This is just not working.
So were they ever like lovey-dovey and it changed or something?
Yes. The season they were on prior to this one, everything was good. Everything was working out. But then ultimately, when it came to the end of the season, this whole thing happened. The whole conversation came up with she gave the ring back to him in an argument. And then at the tell-all, this whole sleepover thing was brought up. And after that, since then, it's been awkward. Even when the season started, this season, when she flew over, they've been awkward from the jump. It's been very, very uncomfortable.
Well, damn, these seasons go quick. I mean, they only got 90 days. That just,
yeah. So I really feel like that 90 Day Fiance is like the reason for the problems here, because I feel like that if it was not for 90 Day Fiance existing, like, I don't think that Mike would have gone through with having her back over. Like, I think that he got addicted to being on the show and, like, all of the trappings that come with being, like, on TV. And so that they would have just been broken up then. And I think that they've sort of, like, he had the opportunity to do it again. It's like, okay, fine. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. And if it doesn't work out, she'll just go home. But, yeah, I'll be on the show another season. And that's how we get this mess where she's, like, expecting the marriage to come out of it, and then he's like, okay, I'll be back on TV.
I don't even understand. They look like they absolutely and utterly hate each other.
They're the worst couple. They're the worst couple.
So I don't know. I don't I don't even understand, like, why she would want to marry him. I mean, she's like yelling at him for cheating and all this other kind of stuff. He's a deplorable. I don't know, for lack of a better word. Like, there's nothing that comes across as redeeming to him.
Here is why Mike is bad. And I thought that Natalie actually articulated this well. And let me just say that this is, I think, the issue with Mike. To shout out to Larry from Twitter, who's the big Mike stan, who says that we are just Natalie apologists. But what I do think that what Mike did wrong here, and I thought that Natalie said it, like, hey, like, I'm not your toy. I'm a real person. You can't just, you brought me here. Then you tell me that, okay, I can't get married. Now I can't have the ring. Like, just let me go. Let me go. Mike is holding all the cards here.
Wait, is he like holding her visa? I mean, like, is he holding her passport? Can she like
he's like keeps like stringing her along about like, okay, well, maybe we'll get married. Let's see how it goes. And he doesn't give her a straight answer. He doesn't want to get married. Just tell her like, I don't want you here anymore. Go home. That's it. Break it off with her. He's just running out the clock.
Yeah, it's just slow torture, isn't it? Because, like, obviously she's living at this, like, secluded farmland where she's alone. Yeah. He's working.
She's a prisoner.
Yeah, no, it's literally Rapunzel just without the castle and like with like a shed. It's not great. I don't love it.
Mm-hmm. So this is funny because this reminds me of like when you get voted off Survivor and you're like at Ponderosa, you're like, I want to go, but I want to stay. And it's just this back and forth, but I want her to go. I want her to go
she
because
go.
They just seem miserable.
Like, I don't think Mike cheated. I don't think that Mike cheated on her. I think she's needs to drop that also. But also, like, Mike is at this point, like, she's like a hostage.
Yeah, let them both find love. This ain't it. They're not going to find it here. Let her find her vegetarian, athletic, nature-loving husband and let him find his steak-loving woman and let them both find harmony and move on because they're definitely polar opposites and they shouldn't be together.
Yep. By the way, Puya, did she call Mike ugly in this episode? I wasn't sure if she was saying he was being ugly or that basically said that she's beautiful and Mike is ugly.
Yeah, she the quote was, "I'm much beautiful than you," which I definitely agreed. I'm not reading between the lines, that is, you ugly, I'm not. How do you like that? So yeah,
but that also true, she is much beautiful than him.
I will say then, against Mike, for the second week in a row, take that damn Bluetooth out of your ear. Nobody is calling you, Mike. We never see you. Who is calling him? Who is calling him with his, like, hold on, I gotta take this.
Like, this isn't 2005. And if you're trying to look cool, like, AirPods are a sign of prestige now. Buy you a pair of AirPods and your life is fine. Bluetooth, no one needs to have a Bluetooth earpiece in 2021. You can get the double barrel earpiece known as AirPods, and that's two of them. Yeah. So you're in a better place now. Stop it.
Then he has the clip on his belt that, you know, that goes with it. So it's a set and he doesn't want to break up the set.
All right. Let's talk about the whole saga with Stephanie. And Stephanie and Ryan, just to give you a little bit of the context here, Stephanie, she is in her early 50s. She met Ryan that when she went to Belize, that she was going to bring him to the U.S. But then because of coronavirus and a couple of different things, they had not been together in 10 months. She finally went out there and they were not intimate right away. That he had learned that she had slept with his cousin Harris at one point during another trip to Belize. And then we saw at the end of the last episode, she walked off and we found out exactly what happened. And this was an ugly situation, Puya.
Yeah, this has been a brewing boil of uncomfortableness just waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when we left the conversation last episode, they obviously gave us a snippet of what might happen here. But it had been very clear that the physical intimacy is what was keeping this relationship going, because when they were apart, they were just fighting all the time. When she arrived at Belize, the plan was, I've missed you. We need to, like, this is like, it's very clear physical touch is her love language and like physical touch is his love language kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So when all of this gets to a head the night of, then we get this big incident, which causes Ryan to leave, which causes Stephanie to break it
off. Which we wondered about, like, from when she showed up, she brought a bunch of presents for him, including this.
I brought sense. I'm not sure if you've been a nasty boy or not. I brought some glow-in-the-dark rubbers.
Oh,
you told me no. I brought glow-in-the-dark tape to tape your ass up, and then I'll put it on for you.
Okay. We were like, wait, what's going on here? This whole thing is weird with the glow-in-the-dark. And we get to that she finds out that he played around with the package and then tricked her. And then when she found out, very rightfully so, super angry and kicks him out, and he walks off. And this looks to be the end of Stephanie and Ryan.
This is so disgusting. Mm-hmm. So I have to say that this was like, I was like, yeah, this is why I can't watch this on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. First of all, he's a hottie, but now I feel bad in even saying about that. And this just felt disgusting. Like her terminology, if I heard her say rubber one more time, I was going to lose.
Or lubricant.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like the conversation between her and her friend may be uncomfortable. Not even just what they were talking about, but I mean, I don't know, like, girl, what have you done with your life that this is where you are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of, serious discussion about Stephanie and Ryan, about that. This was a really serious thing to come up on the show and
about consent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, we're used to talking about like, all of the nonsense, on the, you know, the crazy train here for 90 Day Fiance, but, this is a rare time that we actually have something serious to talk about.
Yeah.
So when it got to that part, I guess I was just ready to turn it off. Like I said, I like the lighthearted shade. But Yeah, I mean, there are so many issues that come around with sex and feelings, but also there's a health issue. And this was just disturbing. I think she was right to break it off. I'm so glad he left. But it seems like they were really ill suited before that. Mm-hmm. Not that that's an excuse with this situation and how it came up, but I don't know. This is the part of 90 Day Fiance that, like, we say how people try to stay in the show because they want to be on the show, and then they end up in situations that are not healthy and not conducive to living their best life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt that it was weird that we got, like, Ryan's confessional after this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't even know how the timing of all this is with them, because he clearly, like, leaves into the sunset. She ends up contacting him at some point because she was frantically looking for her mom's ring.
Yeah.
Which she blindly was like, he could have stolen
it. Which was wild then that then she, like, then called, like, she was worried about the ring, and then she found the ring, and then she called him to thank him for not stealing the ring.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't healthy. Like, this is probably not the right thing to do. I mean, yeah.
Stephanie is, you know, imbalanced, like, to say the least, about the way that, you know, she's handled, like, you know, from the moment we've seen her on the show, we say, like, okay, well, Stephanie seems off, though, like, rightfully upset with what happened with Ryan.
So wait, let me just get some clarification. She slept with his cousin,
yes,
right?
Yes, Harris.
Yes.
Who then she's calling later on in the episode to come and meet her.
Right, because she just needed to be with somebody.
He was always friendly to her.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I just think, what is wrong with you that just let it go? Just let it go, move on, find somebody else.
Home. I think she should just come home. I feel like that Maria the psychic, I feel like, was not good counsel here. She called Maria the psychic, who last week had told her that Maria the psychic did say she saw Ryan coming to Michigan and then was going to leave her for a younger woman. So I wonder, that does not seem like that's going to come true. And then she said, like, what should I do? Should I call Harris? And Maria the psychic said, yeah, Harris, he's better for you, but he has. And then Stephanie's takeaway was like, well, Maria says that Harris says a lot of good things about me.
Maria don't know. First of all, let me just put it out there. Maria don't know. Maria wants your money. Maria wants your money.
Yeah.
Her and Miss Cleo are in cahoots. Y'all need to leave all of them alone and seek your own personal counsel. I hope that woman looks within herself and makes better decisions.
Yeah.
I really honestly feel bad for her that she feels like she has to gain love through sex, because I mean, that's what I feel like she's doing. Like, she had sex with Harris.
Yeah.
She had sex with this guy who, you know, decided not to use a condom when they specifically talked about it. And so who are you trying to gain love from, and what are you willing to risk physically? Yeah. And stop it.
Now, Puya, are you sure her love language isn't giving gifts?
No, I think her bribe language is giving gifts.
Like,
I think
she called Harris and she's like, well, I'll just meet somebody else. I got all these watches here.
I think that a lot of her relationships lie is in the fact that I think we know her profession. We know she runs the Skin Envy company. Mm-hmm. And she's all about trying to look
youth
young.
Serum.
Right. And I think that her thing is, I think she's worried that if she doesn't have this element added to the relationship, she will not be able to maintain that relationship. And because I think that it's very clear that Ryan wasn't asking for some of those gifts, was getting them. But ultimately, where all this goes wrong for me with the relationship, she didn't trust him. It was very clear. She made a joke about it when she brought the condoms and said, I don't know if you've been a bad boy or not. All the problem for me comes down to this one thing. Ryan agreed to use the condom. He should use the condom. End of discussion. I don't care what he says after that. It's over. The conversation's over. She's in the right for that. 1,000,000,000%. And this is completely independent of all the other things that Stephanie has done during the relationship that I've been questionable as far as like what you're going about or how you're getting to these conclusions. So I 100% wanted to make that very clear. And then I wanted to say that I don't know, Rob, is Harris going to get all the gifts now that now when Harris meets up, is he getting the gifts? We don't
know. Harris is coming in next week, it looks like. Puya, was Ryan on any of the 90 days Bears All? Like, have Stephanie and Ryan been in communication after this? Or is this, as far as we know, the end of Stephanie and Ryan?
So based on, if we're trying to connect the context from 90 Day Bears All, what I can say is that there was an episode where Ryan was on talking to Sean about some stuff, and they kind of showed his intro package of like, oh, I can't wait to go to Michigan, blah, blah, blah.
It just seems weird. It seems weird that the franchise has not disassociated with Ryan.
I'm not sure, Rob. I'm not sure why they wouldn't have. I don't know if we have the full picture.
Like,
I don't
think we need the full thing picture. That happened. It just seems weird that they're still like, he's still like one of the wacky characters, like in the 90 Day universe.
Does 90 Day like take a stand on those kind of social issues? I don't know.
They haven't yet.
Yeah.
Not that
it's
I know.
It's very yada yada to me, based on how they did it on the show for sure. Well, and like I watched the Bears, all of this didn't come up. They didn't speak on it further. So it doesn't seem like they're really talking about it.
I feel like the show didn't treat it like any more of a serious matter than anything else that came up on the show.
Yeah. And like, I think that's the problem. I think the problem is that a lot of people discount, you know, we've seen Stephanie be like kind of out there. So they're discounting what she says and how she says it. And she's kind of like the goofy character. But like, this is a serious thing that happened. So what I just explained of like the independent of her mannerisms, behaviors, joking things she said before, this is a serious thing. I don't think the show has been willing to divorce the two and focus on this serious thing for what it was. I think they don't know how to deal with that in the formula of 90 Day. I really don't.
They handle a lot of issues that are very serious poorly. I mean, like, they had this woman who's pregnant and her husband is getting shit faced, you know, so I think they only feel like it's one step removed. But I mean, this is it's very serious. And I mean, it's rape. If you want to be very.
Yeah.
Probably what it is, it's rape. And I don't know why they would just drop it and leave it. Those are my kids in the background, so I'm sure they'll be in here in a minute.
Okay. Well, this was, you know, a really traumatic experience for Stephanie to go through.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully there is some sort of resolution with this. But, you know, this is a tough thing to talk about.
Really is.
Okay.
It certainly is. I was definitely not expecting this. So
let's
how do we pivot from this? Yeah, Rob,
I think I actually know how, because I do have a secret scene from this week's episode of 90 Day Fiance that I don't think that Puya has gotten to see yet. So I asked Sam if he could cue it up. If he could come on and let me play this for you real quick.
Puya, otherwise known as Mr. 90 Day Fiance, also known to me as All Hail the Nipple King. I just want to say happy birthday, buddy. Yeah, it was a birthday present from me to you. I'm inviting you and Leanna to come on over and take a dip with me in the hot tub. Yeah. And you know, if you stay the night, sorry, but you're going to have separate rooms.
Yes.
I love it. Oh my God.
Puya, we got a cameo for you from Brandon.
How much did that cost?
Not that much.
That's incredible. That was a lot.
He does not pull out of doing hard work on these cameos.
Ew.
Listen,
what's the effort in?
I genuinely thought you had like some kind of secret scene queued up. So when it turned over and I saw cameo doc, I knew what was coming. I had to brace myself. And Let me tell you, I did not know what was coming. That is phenomenal. Thank Rob, you've done too much for me. That is wild. That's absolutely wild.
We'll post it online so people can check it out. Brandon put in a lot of work.
I wish you could have seen Puya's face. He was overjoyed. He turned red. Like, he loved it. We got to record. Yes. Oh, thank you. We are recording.
Yes. So that was a great job, Brandon. And yeah, you and Liana can go and now officially can go stay at the hot, get in the therapy hot tub.
I'm happy because now I know what the rules of the hot tub are. So Betty's not going to be mad. It's all going to be good. Lovely. Thank you, Rob.
You can play Jenga with them.
Can't wait. Ron's a hoot at Jenga. So I'm excited to break bread with Ron and Betty.
Also this week, speaking of real additional content for 90 Day Fiancé, they dropped 90 Day. What's it called? 90 Day Single Life.
The Single Life, yes.
The Single Life, yes, on Discovery Plus, which people can check out. I think what Puya and I are going to do, we're going to let a couple episodes accumulate, and then we'll go back and we'll check out what's going on 90 Day, The Single Life.
Yes, and that'll be fun. That'll be fun. They've got a fun, very eccentric crew of people for this first season. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very exciting to see, very goofy. Discovery Plus, you know, it's online, so it comes with a more uncensored language, uncensored, you know, the content is not as monitored. So it's going to be good fun once we get to the couple episodes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jatia, do you regret delving into the 90 Day universe with us?
No, because I got to hang out with you and Puya.
Thank you.
And both of you guys are so much fun. However, I mean, this definitely will not be on my repeat watch.
Yes.
But it was interesting. I mean, these people have real problems in it, and I am, you know, glad that they're sharing. Mm-hmm. Like, It's a lot going on in these worlds. It's real in these streets. And, you know, they are being vulnerable and sharing their lives with us. So I appreciate it. And I don't want to give them too much grief.
There's a fine line of like problems are fun until they reach a certain threshold. And then they become very, very not fun.
Right. Right. But I was grateful for the pivot away from my life and my screaming children. Yeah. So
makes everything that you have going on seem very calm, very manageable.
Right, right. As my screaming kids are in the background, I'm like, I'll deal with it. I'll take it.
Jatia, you have a very professional podcast microphone. Are you doing anything podcast wise?
Why, thank you for asking, Robsy. I actually am delving into web content. I have a brand new series premiering Tuesday, March 2nd. STEM Queen.
Yes.
And it's about African American women, professional women in STEM who are amazing. So I like to call them like the Cardis of chemistry, the Beyoncés of biology, the Kamalas of quantum, the Tarajis of tech. I mean, these women are amazing, just like me. And I just want to share how awesome me and my friends are, and to inspire the next generation of women to join the STEM realm.
And that's going to be a podcast.
It's a web series. So you get to see me. Okay. Yeah. And all my gorgeous hair. You're missing my curls on the podcast, but it's on YouTube. So youtube.com, Jatia PhD, J-T-I-A PhD. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jatia PhD. And see my antics and what I'm up to. I don't curse as much in my own web series, but fuck it, I'm here. So, you know, I'm going to drop some F-bombs while I can.
Yeah, well, really appreciate you making the time to watch 90 Day Fiancé and come and talk with us about it.
I totally enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and Puya, what do you have coming up for the birthday, big birthday today?
So the birthday is about to be done, but it's been a lovely, lovely couple of days. I will be, you know, Big Brother Canada's on the horizon. So, you know, we're going to be messing with that. Sure. That's starting off March 10th. March 3rd. March 3rd. Yes. March 10th is the other show I'll be diving into, Masked Singer Season 5 coming around. So that'll be another thing we'll be diving into. I know that, you know, The Circle is coming at some time in March. March is going to be a big, big month for content. I'm very excited. And on top of all of that, I will still be doing my streaming on the side on twitch.tv/Puyaism 3 times a week, sometimes 4. Depends, but it's fun time.
Depends on the week. Okay. Yeah. All right. Of course, be sure to check out. We will get that Brandon cameo. We'll post it on our Instagram at RHAP Grams. And then also check out everything else we have going on at robhasawebsite.com. Normally at this part of the show, I tell you about what we're doing over on Patreon, but all this week, we want to just redirect you over to some of the efforts going on to help out people in Texas. We made a contribution to the North Texas Food Bank. NTFB.org is the organization that we donated to, but there's lots of great organizations helping out people that are suffering right now. With the winter storm in Texas. So we definitely ask that you look into some of the ways you might be able to help with the people who are listening in Texas. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with more 90 Day Fiancé. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.